This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. National political figures like Jeb Bush and Rand Paul are throwing their support behind the GOP contenders in the race for the U.S. Senate here in North Carolina. But will the big-name endorsements give one candidate enough of a lead in next week's primary to avoid a runoff? We'll look at the race for the seat held by Democrat Kay Hagan and other hot primary races with political junkie Ken Rudin. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank.
This is North Carolina's become a kind of a testing ground, right, for some perhaps contenders, potential contenders for the GOP presidential primary, I guess. Is that right?
It's actually like the Spanish Civil War. I mean, do you remember, if you remember the Spanish
Civil War? I do remember. Yeah, I was young, but yes.
Well, yes, but I mean, of course, all these outside groups were coming in with their proxy battles, and obviously it was like a dress rehearsal for World War II. Well, North Carolina, in a sense, is a dress rehearsal for the 2016 Republican presidential battle. So you have Jeb Bush coming in for the establishment choice, Tom Tillis, and you've had, and of course, while Rand Paul endorsed Greg Brennan back in October, he's coming to Charlotte, I guess, to campaign for him on Monday, putting his money where his mouth has been. And so it's really, and of course you have Mike Huckabee backing Mark Harris, the Baptist minister. So you do have a 2016 look into North Carolina. And of course, North Carolina may be the key state for deciding which party controls the Senate. So there are a lot of things are at stake here.
So on the one hand, these candidates might have an interest in seeing these sort of national figures who would become the senator and certainly keeping it or moving it to the Republican Party. But on the other hand, what about them personally? I mean, is this a chance for them to build organization? Why do this? Why endorse in the primary if you're a potential candidate?
Well, something in any other state, obviously, when you endorse, you endear yourself with the candidate and the supporters. But when you get involved in a Republican primary, it's one thing to endorse in a general election and you campaign for that candidate in an Iowa Senate race or a New Hampshire Senate race. But here in North Carolina, with these different factions battling amongst each other, you do take a big risk. And probably the biggest risk is Rand Paul, in the sense that if Greg Brennan loses big on Tuesday, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Obviously, he's going to come into North Carolina with the idea of making him a big factor on Tuesday's election. But if Brennan loses big, then you could say, well, what's the point of a Rand Paul endorsement? And if Rand Paul comes in and hurts Tom Tillis's numbers, if it brings him to below 40%, then the establishment Republican Party could say, well, wait a second, now we have two more months of battles among ourselves when we should be focusing on Kay Hagan. So it's a tremendous, it's a very interesting risk taken by Rand Paul, especially Rand Paul in this race.
And that, of course, is the one thing the Republicans want to avoid, would be a runoff as a party in general, right?
Oh, absolutely. One, I mean, you don't want to spend millions of more dollars battling among yourselves. And, of course, Greg Brennan and, to a lesser extent, Mark Harris. And, of course, there are other candidates on the ballot. But whoever finishes second, and if Tillis finishes under 40%, then you have two more months of Republicans spending money and battling each other, while Kay Hagan, who already has $8.5 million in the bank, just keep piling up money and just watching the Republicans eat each other alive.
Now, this race has been framed as the mainstream Republican Party against the Tea Party. And, of course, 2 years ago, the party had its elephant handed to them. I wish this was the Democrats. I could have said that much differently. The party had its elephant handed them because Tea Party candidates who fumbled a bit had the Republicans losing ground. What's happened to the Tea Party? Is it the force it once was? Is it losing traction? And will it soon, do you think, fade from the scene?
Well, I don't think it's fading anytime soon. And the fact is, you have a leading Tea Party candidate, Rand Paul, assuming he runs for president in 2016. And everywhere Jeb Bush goes, he keeps getting reminded that he is the establishment. He backs Common Core and education standards. He's too much of a Me Too kind of Republican. So I don't think so. And of course, you can look at all the states where the Tea Party is challenging Republican incumbents for the Senate, like Mitch McConnell, like Pat Roberts in Kansas, like Lamar Alexander in Tennessee, like Thad Cochran in Mississippi, Lindsey Graham in South Carolina. Now, if the Tea Party loses every race, and aside from Mississippi and Thad Cochran, they're probably going to lose everyone. You could say, well, they're not as effective, but they could say that by our challenges, we've moved these Republican candidates further to the right. We've moved them more in the line of constitutional principles. So we may not win with every candidate, but we certainly have had an effect in the campaign by making these Republicans more conservative.
So we're talking about endorsements. Let's turn to the House side. In the 6th district race, Phil Berger Jr. received the endorsement from Newt Gingrich. What do you make of that?
Well, again, there are a lot of these endorsements that are on paper only. So Newt Gingrich backs Phil Berger Jr. and Sarah Palin backs Taylor Griffin in the 3rd District against Walter Jones. But it's one thing to just put out a statement saying, you know, this is the candidate that I want. First of all, with Newt Gingrich, I think Phil Berger is a good bet because he seems to be the front runner, although it is a crowded field in that 6th district. That's the one that Howard Coble is giving up. We see Sarah Palin giving endorsements one after another, most of them for unsuccessful candidates. But it was interesting that if the outsider in the 3rd district is Walter Jones Jr., it's interesting that Sarah Palin backed the so-called insider, Taylor Griffin. But again, it's one thing to just endorse somebody by giving a statement or putting something on your Facebook page. It's another to actually come out and campaign, and that's what Rand Paul is doing for Brannon on Monday is very instructive.
I've only got about 30 seconds left, but we're talking about individual endorsements, and of course, interest groups are also heavily involved in this primary. Lots and lots of money. We've seen millions of dollars in a Supreme Court race where the Koch brothers are interested in unseating the Democrat, and that's in our state Supreme Court. At the national level, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce here in the primary supporting Tom Tillis. How normal is that for big national interest groups to get involved in the primaries?
It is. It's not abnormal, but except North Carolina, I saw this report. There have been 14,870 Senate ads in North Carolina alone, and 90% of them have been paid by outside interest groups. So obviously, with control of the Senate at stake, there's so much at stake, and North Carolina seems to be ground zero for this kind of experimenting.
All right, Ken, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Frank. Happy primary day.
Thanks very much. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us most Fridays. You can find out more from Ken. You can link to his scuttlebutt puzzle at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the secret love affair between you and your smartphone on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.